Okay, he muted, he muted it out. I mean, you know, I thought the coughing was quite funny, actually. It's like a cackling and coughing at the same time. It's kind of like when those women who can hum and sing at the same time. I don't know how they do it, but
it was that they see the green. They see the green with their eyes, and they flip. They're called flippers, green flippers.
You know, if you just change the name to cannabis, it's not illegal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because marijuana is what's illegal. That's just made up.
And now they even got a planet.
Right, sorry. Officer pulls you over. Have you got any marijuana, sir? No, but I've got some cannabis, and that's legal.
you just say no.
Come here, son. I got some legal for you, baby.
Did you hear
Get your
planet
hands away from your pocket. Get your hands away from your pocket. I don't want your filthy stoner hippie hands all over that weed that I'm about to smoke.
Hey, Vinny, did you hear a planet pot?
Planet pot. I'm in New Zealand, bro. I live here.
No, it's the first planet with life that they found.
Oh, yeah? And it's got, like, weed all over it?
No, yes. Cannabis. Yes. Cannabis.
Weed, cannabis, ganja, smoke, spliff, whatever the heck you want to call it, bro. It's the same diff, isn't it?
All we gotta do is visit that planet.
Just don't call it marijuana. You never know, the Martians might arrest you.
You know, there really does need to be a human settlement program.
An etymological finish. A term. Bring it up right now, Vinny. What's it gonna be?
Well, let's say, for example, you get a whole bunch of nonviolent drug offenders. They don't have any rights anyway. Pop them on a shuttle, strap them in. You may be in freezer tubes or something like that. And about 5,000 years later, they'll arrive on Pot Primus, and they will set up a veritable marijuana heaven. And they will get to live the rest of their days without medical difficulties and without ever running out of weed. Now, that sounds like heaven to me.
It does. And they can just eat everything, and then their poop can terraform, and it'll just continue, and it'll just be like everlasting forever, like the most incredible compost in the world.
Yeah, everlasting poop ganja. That's the ticket.
Perfect world. What more can we ask for?
Do you guys remember that poster when you had black light time? You know, everybody bought a black light, and you had the fluorescent posters. There was one bitch in one called Mescaline Woods. And it just had all kinds of characters, and it was a forest, and it had oaks and pines. That's where I'd like to be, hanging out, fishing, and just living off the land. Mescaline Woods type atmosphere.
Hope you don't get lost.
No, I'll get even.
I think I've seen this lamppost before, man. Didn't we pass that like an hour ago? Are we going in circles, as if?
It's where Julio the gardener brought me some good stuff, man.
Yeah. I think we found
heaven.
He
just came over the border to give me some special sticky aching.
See, now this is fun. This is creativity. This is good energy. I like it. I think the listeners do, too. I really do. I'm almost positive they do.
That's why everybody should be listening to the Vinny Eastwood show. In fact, we should just be listening through all the old archives. I've got like shows dating back till 2010 that people can download for free. I can guarantee you, and I accidentally did this one time. I sat there and I was like looking around for some alternative radio to listen to. Listen to one, don't like that. Listen to another, don't like that. And I was like, well, bugger it. I've got all my like commercial free archives and stuff like that. Why don't I just listen to my own freaking show? And I did, and I loved it.
Hey, listen, can I plug something? Really, this is Revolution Radio Freedom Slips that you're listening to right now, and Gerber's throwing a spontaneous roundtable. Breathe, Ger. And this is freedomslips.com. We have Vinny Eastwood, celebrity on the alternative radio with us tonight on a panel with a few of my other friends, Helena, Tony Two, Eagle Eye, Mr. Matthew, and maybe who else I forgot. But what I was trying to say is, Vince, why won't you bring a Simon, ask Hawk for a Simon broadcast back, and at least we are showing your shows here at Revolution Radio again?
Oh, I've offered. He said he wasn't allowed to like do a simulcast with other networks, kind of thing. So there's a marketing issue.
Oh, I got that's right. Now that it's a shame, but that has where it has to come to. But because you are good, and it'd be better to get you out more. Like, and we miss you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. well, you know, I haven't even done a radio show in like 2 months or whatever. And yeah, it's been pretty tough, actually. I've been having to take a quite a bit of time off and been feeling really exhausted and kind of crazy, to be honest.
Hey, Vinny, have you heard about – let me ask real quick while we got Vinny here. Have you heard about the 9 executives at the BBC and what's going on with them?
Does it involve a porn ring? If not, I don't know.
Just curious. Yeah, because that's big news, and there's a lot going on.
In relation to what?
Well, I don't know. It's just – it's breaking news that there's some corruption in the BBC, and I don't know.
You don't say. Oh, yeah. Breaking news, is it? There's corruption at the BBC. Like, this is just unprecedented. We never saw this coming.
Well, we're on a round table. We got to get it out there.
Hey, oh my God, bro, breaking news. There's a sky, and it's got stars in it.
Right.
Somebody
on.
Woke up, knock him out.
Knock it off, boy, knock it off.
Oh my God, this is breaking news. The media deceives people.
Can you laugh?
Hey, no. Breaking news. The media distracts people with breaking news that isn't actually breaking news.
Newsflash. Breaking news on the air.
It's a repetition because we go round and round and round.
Well, as the Germans say, like Flugerschlag.
We're breaking the mold. We're breaking the mold, but it's, you know, everyone wants a definition. Who cares about the definition, you know? It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. What do you say?
I say we get back on track. To the locomotive and loco. Come on and do loco.
My motives are already quite loco, as you can see.
Well, I have a philosophy. You have to be crazy to know you're sane. And the crazy I define myself is that I'm not sadistic or crazy where I'm like a one flew over the cuckoo's nest type. That kind of crazy. I need to
go off. If you say so.
Yeah, I'm not the crazy that would be termed violent or harming to others. I'm the kind of crazy that's easy on myself and makes fun of myself crazy.
Back on the train, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
You're back on the train.
But that's what I'm trying to say is you got to be a little crazy to know you're saying it because it's – got to be a little. You got to know a little bit that dark to stay pure.
And then you got to laugh at the madness, right?
That's the biggest plus right there—to laugh your butt off as much as you can. You're shrilling down that stuff. Come on.
Have you noticed that incredibly crazy people are always laughing? You know, it's the only way to deal with being so crazy.
I love it. I was in a meeting the other day, and there was a few upset people in this group call, and I just said, well, why don't everybody laugh at the same time? And then I laughed, and I said on three, and I laughed, and then all of a sudden I said, one more time? Well, the third time, they were all laughing, and it was all mellow. And it does help. It's a big, big plus.
It releases a flow of endorphins comparable to kissing a woman for 10 seconds or hugging for 15 seconds.
Would not swap and spit?
No, swapping tongue.
I like it. But anyway.
I like it too.
How's doing?
Also, the organic vibration of a sincere hug too brings that.
Yeah, I'd have to say. Or rubbing your feet when you don't expect it.
Well, and that's another important point. I mean, just surviving as a truther is actually quite a freaking ordeal because you have to go. Let's say for example, you lose your mother, okay, and you understand that there's a grief process. You know, first there's going to be denial, then there's going to be bargaining, and then there's going to be depression, then there's going to be hopelessness, and then finally there's going to be a stage of recovery, and you're going to go on to fully get over it, recover, etc. Now, I found it very disconcerting to find out on a psychology website that final stage, acceptance, isn't a stage that a lot of people actually get to. Some people will never accept that the government really is your enemy. somebody will never accept that they would, you know, deliberately sacrifice people on 9/11. And again, until you accept the really harsh realities, laugh at them, then do something about them, you're going to be ineffective and people aren't really going to want to help you achieve your goals.
Maybe that's what happens when you take the red pill from the psychiatrist.
Well,
you don't get there.
You know G. Edward Griffin, writer of The Creature from Jekyll Island, about how the bankers set up the Federal Reserve Bank and everything. In New Zealand, we have a biscuit manufacturer, confectionery manufacturer called Griffin's. And I thought, you know, it'd be a really great idea. We'll Photoshop a bag of lollies to be full of these red pills and have G. Edward Griffin's red pills, you know, from Griffin's. New Zealanders would love it, but nobody else would get it, as nobody else on this call just did.
So you got to have a blue one too, right?
Hey, Vinny, can I ask you a question?
I got it, Vinny. I got it.
Have you seen, you know, Morpheus, obviously, the character played by Lawrence Fishburne on The Matrix? Have you seen his ad where he's selling a Kia car and he offers the red pill as the luxury car, but if you take the blue pill, you have to go back in your old yucky car? Have you seen that ad?
No, I don't watch television.
Oh, no. Well, it's just an ad. I don't either, but it's actually on YouTube, and it's just it's really amazing. So it's Lawrence Fishburne playing Morpheus selling Kia cars. And I just thought it was such an amazing character to go in that direction. It's, to me, it was like a bit of the sacred cow. So I was really disappointed to see Morpheus sell his cars by passing the red pill and saying, take the red pill. You have the nice car, you take the blue pill, you go back to your old crappy car.
I think your big mistake here is thinking that anything's sacred anymore.
Well, that's right. It's just I still hear a lot of people reference Morpheus, and I think sometimes I'm like, oh, I should remind you that it is just a character and it was just a movie. I don't think we should internalize it as much as we do, although I have definitely done that.
In other words, you don't want Morpheus, you want less Fierce.
No, well, I just don't want anyone to be the Smith to my Trinity, and I'll be happy.
Right. Yeah, it's how low you can go. That's pretty scary stuff.
That's triad cool.
Did he say triad cool?
Yes.
Helena, what is your Trinity? Can you?
It's a character in The Matrix called Trinity.
No, I asked Helena.
The Smith to my Trinity.
It's a story. I just made that up.
But Trinity or Triad to me is Washington, D.C., the London base, and the Vatican.
There's a transsexual character called Trinity.
What was it? What was her used to be her name? Catelyn?
You're talking Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? That triad.
Not that triad, but there's the reality triad is Washington, D.C., the city of London under the Rothschilds, and the Vatican.
The trilateral group? Trilateral group?
No, it has nothing to do with trilateral. It's
just the power of three.
It's the power of three. It's not triadal commission.
Like three books.
Well, at least you try.
Trilogy.
But the first trinity I learned was Father, Holy Ghost, Jesus, what was it?
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, you're sick. Oh, your smartness.
No. It's the fact that it's 11 p.m. instead of like 4 a.m., whatever the hell you are.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll take note of that.
Now it's Scumbaggery 1, Scumbaggery 2, and Scumbaggery 3.
It sounds like a great trilogy.
Yeah.
The Scumbaggery trilogy.
Baggery of your scumanologies. Don't bag without your scum.
Well, and in order to, you know, douse your scumbaggery effectively, you need two full tanks of gank and at least one bag of swag.
Well, baby, that's my hot stuff. I better call my brother. Over. But anyway, I was trying to get an answer out of Trinity, but I guess I cannot juice that one out of Helena.
It's still there. It's hanging. It's here.
But her trinity is probably her husband, her baby, and herself could be a trinity.
Actually, she was just referencing a character from The Matrix, bro.
Who was that?
She was talking about not be the Smith to my Trinity because Smith was trying to kill Trinity.
I copied.
Hold on. I'm going to step back a bit. Although I shouldn't be referencing The Matrix because of this ad. Because as soon as I saw Morpheus in this ad, I stopped referencing. Because I realized it's just a Matrix within itself. And people took that movie so seriously, like I did for years. I just stopped internalizing it. It's another trick, guys. It's just another magic trick. But yes. The only reason I said that, because Smith is not a person. Smith is the thing that knocks out. Smith represents every negative thing, like fear. It's a metaphor. Smith is a metaphor. It's not really a man. It's a metaphor. So I said Smith to my Trinity as a joke, and that's all it was supposed to be.
Well, Daniel Boone was the man. He was a big man. But the bear was bigger, so he ran like a up a tree.
Whoa. Okay.
Jeff. What was that? Oh,
Daddy. That's how old we are, you know?
No, I think that's how late it is.
That could be, yes.
Well, you don't know who Daniel Boone was? Daniel Boone was a man. He was a big man.
Yes, yes.
If you say so.
Well, that's American history, though.
Daniel Boone.
So you might not know he was a big man.
It was a TV show, right?
No. Daniel Boone was in the history books back.
No, I know.
Fess
he was
Parker.
At Alamo, wasn't he?
Fess Parker played him in the series with Buddy Ebsen as his sidekick who played Jed Clampett. Yeah.
Cool.
But Dan, I just have, when you said man, it reminded me of that old song, Daniel Boone was a man. Big man.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
But the bear was bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't want to say.
Yeah, I know.
Figure. Up a tree. All right. Vinny, I'm sorry I went put everybody on pause. Please come back.
I'm right here, man. I've been here the whole time just going, what the hell is going on here, bro?
I'm hanging with the trilogy. Well,
Big right. Bamboo. Hey, I'm strictly Big Bamboo. I don't believe in bongs.
Okay,
I'm old school, Big Bamboo, Papeles, Roll It, and Twist, my friend.
You know, some people don't believe in leprechauns. He doesn't believe in bongs.
Bongs, yeah, the bong. Yeah, that's true. Leprechauns, they're in my cereal.
Yes, they are indeed. And crunchy, crunchy though their skulls may be, they still provide some luscious, luscious nutrition.
I thought they
could. Some luscious integrity.
There's no such thing as luscious integrity. That's like dry water.
Oh, Liv, tell me more.
Honeycomb, big. Yeah.
You ever seen like chick walk up to a guy in a bar? Oh my God, your integrity is so luscious. I just want to take a point out of you.
Yeah, if she's got a figure, not a higure.
Well, if she works on Wall Street, she definitely has a few figures.
There you be. But back on track, any questions from chat? And one person said, Pale Rider told DARPA, I don't want to argue or debate. My opinion is I enjoy watching and listening to Vinny more than just listening. If you don't like it, forget about it. I'm from New York, and I'll tear your ass up. No, he's talking about your shows that have you with a
Jordan Maxwell.
With a visual effect, not just a audio effect. You've got the whole scenario now, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like when I'm actually doing the video. Oh, yeah. I know. With the webcams and everything.
And he posted a link on YouTube for that, too. I didn't click it.
Oh, yeah. It's actually quite a lot of work. And there was these things that we're capable of doing now. With a program called Call Recorder. Now, let's say I've got a webcam on and my guest has a webcam on. If I've got Call Recorder, I can record both webcams separately. And then when I chuck them into my video editing program, one goes on top of the other and just stacks and they're perfectly aligned. You don't have to worry about things being in sync or whatever.
How much of your screen does the cams take up? Can you portion it to where, as far as where you're texting each other to?
I'd probably say, looking at it, it's a 27-inch iMac, and I got some duct tape, and I actually marked it out. You have to do tests. So if you get the program Call Recorder for Mac only, if you're on PC, I don't know what you can use really that can do this, but once you get that, you can quickly record something of a webcam on yourself and full screen it, and then you can see where the black bits on your screen are on the side of the video that is full screen, right? You're watching it in full screen, right. And it'll have the sides cut out, and then you mark with whatever you have handy just the top of the screen that you have there. So if you're doing anything on camera...
I copy so you can... I got you.
So you can, yeah, you got to keep things in line.
You can format it for formatting it, bringing it all together.
Well, the thing is, like when you're looking at your webcam feed, it looks like it's being done in widescreen. So you put like a hand, even just a couple of inches away from you, and it goes out of frame. But if you know exactly what the frame is, and you're looking at your webcam while you're doing your broadcasting, just to make sure you don't move out of that frame, it appears much more professional, like you're in a studio or something of that nature. And also, when you're sitting there and you're listening. I can't just sit there like and not do anything and just listen to a radio show. I have to be doing something. But the problem is, when you're doing something, like if you're on Facebook while you're listening to the radio, then you're not really listening to the radio. So the problem is, you now actually – you do have to provide some kind of visual, and the listeners really appreciate and enjoy it. But it is a hell of a lot more work to edit and put them up.
To format it and get it all squared up. I follow you. Well, you got a good compliment from a Pale Rider in chat. I just want to let you know that.
Cheers for that, Pale Rider.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. I'd like to have you on a round table and everybody here, and also, what's his name, James. I think, boy, we could light up the world with him and this chemistry here today.
Yeah, I found out the other day that I'm an energy leech of sorts. I find that I'm funnier when I've got a lot of people around me. It's not intelligible. Like, I don't know. I don't read the thing or anything like that. Some kind of different version of joke comes out, and it just appears to be much funnier, and it's on a much better wavelength. And seems to get along with everybody. It's like
so it's because it's a spontaneous personality that comes out to you in that kind of. It's like duck hunting or pheasant hunting. When you come into that approach, and you see a lively crowd, and you want to blend, that you know there's something that you can throw a joke at somebody, and everybody, you know, you have that spontaneous.
You know what it is? I'm a very severe person.
That's cool. I'll
I think it's a lot of energy together. You know, everybody's energy gets involved.
Yeah, yeah. And I found out something with my mates the other day. Like, we smoke cigarettes and drink and have a bong or whatever. And I found out something very interesting. There's a dynamic with good friends. I'm not sure if any of you share this experience, but I'll be sitting there and I'll think, man, I need a ciggy. And my mate will say, hey, man, should we have a ciggy? And I go, that's funny, I was just thinking that. So the dynamic is, one friend will think it and not say it, and then the other one will think it at the same time and then say it. And then you both go and do it. That's one dynamic. Anybody ever had an experience like that with one of their friends?
That happens a lot, yeah.
Yeah, all the time?
Yeah, it happens a lot. It's had happened in my past. I'm not around type friends right now, unfortunately.
And I think it's how close you are to people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's like about, you can sense, it's like you're on the same wavelength kind of thing.
Sure.
With your best friends usually. And I think the other dynamic is we'll say something, but we won't say what we meant. Like we'll actually get something wrong, and then the other person will hear what they said, but they'll interpret it wrong. And because they interpreted it wrong, it's actually exactly what the person meant to say but didn't. You ever have that? Well, yeah. The other day, my friend was like, "Maybe we should roll a joint." And I pull out a pipe, and he goes, "It's funny you should do that because I meant a pipe."
Whatever works.
I think you get to know people like that. You know, you can almost guess what they're going to say. And the thing with a cigarette is, you know, it might be like how long each is can last. It might be about the same amount. Like you get used to each other, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like when women live together. Did you know that their periods synchronize?
Yes. Always. Yeah.
So maybe it's when men smoke weed together, their thoughts synchronize.
That's a good point, yeah. Well, I just think wanna, anyway.
By the way, that's a total myth.
Say that again slowly, Selena, because you were breaking up. Let her go.
Oh, it's a total myth. What? I mean, maybe Vinny was just kidding around. But it's a myth. I've got seven sisters, and we all live in the same house, and that never happened. I've lived with female friends, and never happened.
Okay, so obviously because it didn't happen to you, that it never happens to anybody. Fair enough. Well, I was wrong.
Maybe it's just...
Okay, Vinny. All right.
I just went to the moon. Does it mean I didn't happen?
It might be that you notice it when you're around other women because it, you know, just synchronizes, or you need something, you don't have enough because of everyone else. You know, like it could be that you just recognize it like that.
Yeah, menstruation and the moon. It's interesting.
Does it mean that women get the all women worldwide get that time of the month because of the moon at round about the exact same time of the month anyway?
No.
I think the moon has effects on emotions, and then there's an effect that takes place with the loss of minerals. And then with the loss of minerals and the effects of the emotions, things take place. But I don't know. Helena can probably know more about that.
Isn't it really hard to say because of all the drugs we do now and how everything's changed our cycles?
I'm not going there, Rob. Don't pass that ball to me. I'm not
I
going
can
there.
I can tell you about boo-boo.
I don't know.
Here we go. Myth or fact, women's menstrual cycles synchronize if they're in close proximity for large amounts of time. It's reported that in 1999, one study said that 80% of women believed it, that it occurred, and 70 of them find it pleasant to have this be the case. So basically, most people believe it, and most people actually want it to be the case. Right. However, the main body of evidence suggests that it's nothing but a myth. So, yeah, she's right, and all the other things are that way. So, it's coincidence that happens a lot of times. So maybe that's how the myth got started.
And men too also have menstruation. Men also. So everybody's in this together.
Well, I have my female dog that just turned 8 years old, Boo Boo, and she has not been spayed yet or nothing. And I kept track of her cycles because I know when they're at. And out of 8 years, she's only had four. That's pretty or four or five. But they just come on a little miniature dachshund, not like a cycle. So that's all I can say on that subject.
I got a theory.
I think the men one is like on a full moon, the jails are full, right?
And again, that's actually another thing which I did, in fact, look into about a month ago to determine whether or not it was a myth. And apparently, no, it's not a myth. That during full moons, that's when emergency services are stretched to the limit because people are just going freaking crazy. And it's the moon pulls water, right? Well, what's 80% of your body and 90% of your brain? Water. Yeah. It's been pulled some way.
Alcohol.
So that will affect your emotion. That's well said. That's basic.
Yeah, it could cause headaches, and the headaches could cause craziness.
You know, maybe half of the problem and the reason why everybody's going so freaking crazy in their own little crazy way is that everybody, by and large, has lost contact with their connection to the land and the creatures on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the creator. Yeah.
Nature. Yeah, right on.
And maybe it's even the shape. And maybe even the actual shape of the land.
Right on, Elena. It's nature's way. It's nature's way. You go, Gerber.
Put him on the spot there.
Go ahead, Vinny. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
We're, there's no interrupt. We're round tabling it here. Gerber, Elena.
There wasn't no interrupting. I was finished.
Thanks for being here all. It's nice resonation with everyone.
Yeah, just hanging out, exposing the wee bit of scumbaggery.
Certainly.
Shh. Be very quiet. I'm exposing scumbaggery.
Uh-oh. Hey, we're going to have to get you into Triad Quad, Vinny.
Triad Quad, is that like a university that George W. Bush went to in his infancy?
I want to go to the country.
That was the live version from 1969 Woodstock. Can't he?
That's a great track. That's a great track, that one.
Can't he? The first ones. I got to go up to the country a lot as a child. I loved it. But lately where I'm at now, I need to go more. I have the opportunities, yeah, too.
City's over. Got too big, huh?
Cement jungle.
Yeah, it grew a lot since you got there, right?
Yeah, there was only 180,000 people, this whole community, when I moved here, and now there is pushing 3 million.
Yeah, well, it's the air quality as well, man. All the air is terrible. And in places like Egypt, mate, you go to Cairo on a bad day, and it's like you're smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day just walking around because of all the pollution. And I'm pretty sure that the fact that all of our foods are laced with some kind of toxic chemical ain't helping the equation either. It's like cumulative effects. That's what I've been telling people the whole time. They aren't coming at you in one way. Oh, they're hitting you with a psychological attack, or they're hitting you with a false flag.
I say the same thing, Vince. They've got so many – they got 1,000 spears in us all the time. But the one thing that we have – they can't kill us. The human soul is too bad on them. That's why they're out of swords that we've been pinned with, like one of those dolls, those that they put the needles in. They've needled us so bad, and we still survive. We were
The elite's main problem is they're coming from one central point and they're attacking outwards in all directions. Has anybody ever played the game Risk? You know how much of a dangerous move that is? Because it means you can be attacked from a million directions simultaneously.
But they have pinned us so much that we've been, you know, needled from every direction, like you say. And we've got all these...
This is why I like to employ what is known as the tactic of the cactus. You know how a cactus grows and it covers itself with spines that point out in every direction? Well, the human cactus works like this. For every instance of scumbaggery, for every particular individualized scumbag, there is some kind of activist or some kind of person who's been screwed over for whom it is too much for them to handle, and they do something about it, expose said scumbaggery, and bring said scumbag to justice. They fulfill one part as one spine against one little evil conspiracy that is going on in one little part of town, playing his own little part while everybody else acts as a little prick in their own way to the big boot that's trying to crush us, the human cactus.
So what happens if you try to touch that cactus?
You will get a little prick to remind you not to.
I got a good story about cactus.
And what did George say? Hey, you could prick your finger, but don't finger your prick.
When I was in college, we did some acid and went out. It was a full moon, and I was in San Diego. And could you go east is the Cuyamaca Mountains, and it goes up to Alpine. And from San Diego, it's like kind of semi-desert, but there's a lot of – as you go out where there's open land. and scattered brushes. But we went up to, you go up to Alpine, then we got to the top of this area, and right over that is Borrego Desert, if you look it up, and it's got a national park. So we were tripping on some window pane, we were brushing pretty good. Full moon out. We get into Borrego Springs, and then we were up all night. And the next morning, we saw where to go up this trail, up this canyon that had natural palm trees up in it. And we went way, way, way up. And then there's a big oasis up there. And there's a little stream that comes through it. And we got halfway up there, and I saw this little cactus, man, a little barrel cactus about the size of the diameter of a silver dollar. And it was bulbed up a little bit, you know, like a little. And I said, wow, check this out. It's in the water. And I said, and if you touch a cactus a certain way, if you put your hands around the diameter of it and you go up, you can feel it with, you can feel it like, feel it's what it's got where it won't hurt you. There's a certain way. So I was trying to do this to this one in the water, and my friends were watching me getting ready to do it. And that thing, like, I touched it and it stuck. It sucked my finger up. And I said, man, this is, I couldn't pull it out. I could not get my finger out. I had to dig the whole thing out, and I had to dig it out from the water and to get it out. But that was an experience with cactus. Don't try to touch them in the water.
An attack of the cactus.
Yowza.
They do have barbs on them, like that just gets stuck under your skin. You got to pull to get it off.
Yeah, which is another reason why you shouldn't finger your prick.
Oh, I ain't going there. But yeah, cactus people, huh? I've never heard that
attack cactuses.
I never heard that kind of come.
Oh yeah, come they jump out at you, man.
Well, I sit around and I think about stuff and make stuff up off the top of my head. What can I say?
I like it. It's all good. I'm the same way. It's calm baggery, calm medium baggery, or calm matter.
I don't know. That sounds like really sexual, a comeback.
It did have a little weird there, Jerry. It was a little comeback.
Well, I meant comedian baggery in a humorous way.
It was humorous.
Andy, are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding.
Well, a scumodity?
No.
It's like a commodity, but it's scum.
How about humor? Something humor.
Well, I liked the term malignant humor. It reminds me of a malignant tumor because it's non-lethal.
And
it's not funny.
I got that one wrong. Malignant tumors are lethal.
Well.
See, I like the visualization of, well, I shouldn't say it like that. I like the joke of the dark holes with the Pope scope. It's good. It's good.
Could another sexual reference, the dark holes with the Pope's gun. Come on, people.
What are they thinking? Oh!
Boy, oh boy. I sent for you yesterday, and here you come riding up today, Pilgrim.
Love you, JP. Love you, JP. That's out to our friends there. Come on.
Is there a line? How dirty do the jokes have to get before the FCC steps in?
This is the FCC. You have been in violation of saying pretty woman too many times.
She was a very unclassy lady.
But she had a sexy dress on.
Get the seeds, get the archives, life is good.
Hold on, guys. I'm tearing not only from laughter, but I have to get some sleep. So thanks for letting me join in and shoot the breeze with you guys. I'll talk to you guys.
You come back now, you hear?
Come back to the dark penis corner anytime you feel like it.
I've got some good bazooka bubble gum that really goes good with black.
And Mr. Turtle's my father's name. Okay, guys, have a good night. Thanks
all right. Bye-bye, Aries.
Bye.
I'm still staggered by the black cock with bazooka bubblegum comment.
It works, Father. It works fabulous.
Well, at least it's stretchy. Okay, thank you very much. I'll see you later.
Substitute condominium, I mean. What was that word?
No. Oh. Hey, and I always wondered, you know, Why are condominiums called a condominium? I mean, are they safe? If you live in one of them, are you going to, like, you know, not get STDs or something like that? You know, what is it?
And then after you use one, within like 5-10 minutes, you're using condiments. It's just weird.
I meant condom, not condo.
Oh, I don't know. What if you served your condiments in a condom, in your condominium?
That's some kind of pie.
You know, like a little baggie to take home with you.
I stuffed it with goodies.
Yeah, well, several types of sauce.
Well, that would be good for a grown-up childhood Christmas Eve. Hang your condoms.
And you can get the chunky raisin gravy to go with it.
Oh, no gravy. Please fast forward this to no gravy and talk about the Wild Wild West before Australia got famous.
Hey, interesting fact about the Wild Wild West. Did you know that it had a much lower crime rate than people realized? Because everybody had a gun. And that meant that people who were committing crimes, on average, got to commit one or two crimes before getting shot and dying because medical care wasn't very readily available. And the reason why people like Billy the Kid and Jesse James became so famous is because they managed to pull off more than two crimes without getting killed. They managed to commit three or four crimes before getting killed, and they became famous outlaws.
Same with
because they were... Because they were truly exceptional.
Same with Bonnie and Clyde.
I don't know about that one.
I heard
that
inside
wasn't in the
story.
Wild Wild West. Bonnie.
I know.
It came out in Prohibition era.
Yeah.
They also had abilities to trade, and they were excellent traders, and they were very persuasive people, and they knew the ammunition distributor always. Just to let you know, those men you were talking about never were out of ammunition.
Hey, check it out. We're talking about Wild Wild West, leaders, and in that format, if you ever saw the movie The Cowboys, and John Wayne is the Mr. Anderson, you'll learn there's leadership shown in there when things happen to John Wayne. It's like one of the only – he only dies in so many movies, and that's one he died in. But every time that movie's on, I watch it, but – Their leadership in that when he dies and what they got to do to get the bandits. And it's a pretty funny movie too, if you ever met The Cowboys, John Wayne. Over.
That probably is how many bullets you have.
Yeah, well, you know, if you've got unlimited ammo, it kind of gives you an advantage, doesn't it? Once the other guy runs out of ammo, what's he going to do?
Well, you better
he's going to die.
Better have the energy to use that ammo, though, and use it wisely.
Yeah.
Before that state could be blown up.
It depends how highly trained that person is. If it is, I mean, have you hired a special forces genius to, like, sit on a train waiting for bandits to come in and get it or something like that? No. Right. It would just be some dude with a nickel slick badge.
Maybe they learned it on the TVs they had back then, like they do with the internet and the kids today. With
the TVs in the Wild Wild West before electricity, you mean?
Yeah, they had the telegraph.
It's how big your stick
I got
is.
Jerry, did you just say TVs in the Wild Wild West?
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody was sitting in their log cabins in the middle of nowhere where it was 2 weeks to go to the general store watching The Simpsons.
When they built the railroads, those big-time billionaires gave a TV out to everybody they stopped and saw in those cities.
Yeah, the Chinese people who built the Chinese billionaires who built the railroads in America also carried lots of televisions that they manufactured in China specifically for the trip. So that once they came through each town, and this enormous haul of televisions that they carried along with them could be dispensed one at a time to each town where they set up a railway stop in.
Exactly.
And eventually, by the time the Chinese built the railroad all the way from one coast to the other, everybody in America had a freaking TV, and the country was dead ever since.
The country was, yay, patriotic. You know what I was going to mention, though, and it slipped my mind, was with the Wild Wild West. Damn, you threw me off, Vince. Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that, bro.
You guys continue. I got to recall it because it was interesting. Go ahead.
Right. Well, good luck. You know, I'm kind of at a complete loss as well, you know, because my world's just been shattered here with the sudden realization that women's periods don't synchronize when in the same house together, which means conceivably if you're in a house with like up to four women, you could be dealing with one woman who's got her period for an entire month.
Yes.
You know,
that could be very, and that's hard to stay alert with when one woman, because they're so emotional that if you say, I can't talk to you about it right now, I'd rather have another time. They don't know what no means.
Vis-a-vis, the reason why 70% of people want it to be true that women synchronize on their period is because they could avoid that kind of crap, and they'd think, you know, God's not such an asshole. You know, he actually didn't screw us on this one. But no, he did.
Got a sense of humor.
I know what I want to tell you. Have you ever seen the movie called Zachariah? It came out in 1970, I think. It's electric Western, rock and roll Western. If you get a chance, check it out. It's pretty good. It's kind of spaghetti Western a little bit, but it has some good actors and some good meanings to it. And it's called Zachariah. And it's electric Western Wild Wild West. Over.
Electric Western Wild Wild West. Is that like steampunk, like Flash Gordon?
No, these are the good old rockers like Country Joe and the Fish, James Gang. They play the bad guys, and Zachariah has to go. Him and he has co-partner is the guy from Miami Heat, Don something.
Hey, real quick, Jared, did you ever see Westworld with Yul Brynner? Any of you guys?
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something going on there in these times now. That's like someone did that back in the 70s and 80s. That's going on now.
Well, have you seen Jurassic Park in 1992? Hello, Westworld.
The New World one is bad, man.
There's a second
one that just came out.
I disagree, man. I got to see it. One of my friends shouted me to go see the movie, and we got to see it in what they call Gold Class, bro. And Gold Class has a giant freaking lazy boy with his own tray that you can pull out of the arm.
It's deluxe.
Motorized thing to put the feet up of the lazy boy, or like to tilt the thing back.
Lounge lizards.
Yeah, and they can bring you food and beer and wine and stuff if you want. Yeah, you can order your stuff before. Yeah.
What happened?
I thought it was like a mean movie, bro, but I saw it in 3D. Did you watch it in 3D?
No, I'll be honest with you. All I saw was trailers that really brought the aspect of not so much the actors and what they did, but what the animals or the dinosaurs do.
Do you know what the purpose of a trailer is?
To really enhance you to go.
Something that you pull behind your car.
Yeah. Now, if it's a big action film, right, is it the acting that you're going to see specifically? You know, like, oh, it's a really huge action film. I'm going to go to it for the acting. That's awesome. No?
Well, I did when I went to see Love Story back in 1969.
Okay, Love Story sounds like a real action flick.
That's what I'm saying. I went for the actors and what they said.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're just not the demographic that it's really.
Oh, that was back then.
But I can actually share a few spoilers that I thought were pretty interesting from a truth of perspective about Jurassic Park: The Lost World. You're talking about genetic engineering. We're talking about the commoditization of life as means to make a profit, making a new creature, patenting it, putting it on display for money.
Like Godzilla and like Rodan?
Yeah, like King Kong.
And Kong.
You know, so it's got that whole kind of vibe to it. And how about you should respect life? Remember that it's alive. It's not numbers on a page. It's not some commodity that you can just order around and keep to schedules. We're talking about real living things here that you're using as an attraction that you think that you own just because you made it. when you make life, you don't own it. It's alive and it owns itself. And there's a lot of really interesting themes in there about this kind of dynamic, about respect and trust between people and animals, and how relationships can be really massively abused if one of them thinks that they're better than the other. Once something feels that it's at the top of the food chain, once it feels like it's dominant and it can control everything, that's when it starts to hurt indiscriminately.
Or unintentionally, too.
Like a leader.
There's, exactly. There's a video of this guy in Africa, rescued this abandoned tiger, very young, and it's grown. And to this day, it shows a video, YouTube tape of him walking out to its corral or area. He opens up the gate, and the big old, when the cat stands up on its hind legs and just wraps its forearms around him and starts licking him. It's so unbelievable, but he's got a relationship with that cat that they bonded, and there's never been that kind of effect with control or violence.
Right.
But I'll tell you this right now. Here's another story. Siegfried and Roy were very popular here in Las Vegas for a long time. And one night during the show, that cat turned on him and bit Roy in the skull. What happened? I don't know. But they never performed again.
Apparently, right. They, you know what he should have done? He should have tricked the cat with a bit of misdirection. Considering they invented it.
It was a live show. I never saw the footage of it, but I know the results created Roy to really it mangled his skull and it set his mind into another, it messed with his it did that much damage.
People have no idea how dangerous those animals are. I mean, what? I think it's like muscle density. There's a certain amount of layers of fiber of muscle that goes into building, say, a human arm. And let's say a chimp, for example, it has 1,000% more muscle density. So just a normal, like, skinny-ass chimp could rip Arnold Schwarzenegger's arms off like that.
There's a case of that. There's the chimpanzee was about 180 pounds. Did that to a girl. Went over to her friend's house and they had a chimp and it turned on her. It mangled her host. It's on. She was on Oprah. But yeah, you're exactly right to the strength of these animals.
Right. And let's say you take a tiger, their natural prey are things like Indian water buffalo, which are 1,000-pound, 2,000-pound kind of creatures, about the size of water bison, sorry. They're massive. And tigers can kill one of them with a single blow from their paw.
Oh, yeah, coming on a run.
Smack it hard enough to snap its neck.
I believe
it. A creature that big.
I like what Jer said about, like the way you train them. Like the one tiger didn't hurt them and the other tiger was hurting people.
But they had trained them too.
We've all heard the story of the scorpion, and we've all heard the story of the scorpion and the frog, haven't we?
The white bat frog.
Weren't you trying to say like one was like all nice and he trained them without beating them, and the other one was like he forced them to do everything?
Siegfried and Roy were famous for creating the white tiger, and their compound here in Vegas had a big compound.
No, I mean, did they force the cat to work?
You don't know. It was part of the show, and they would have various...
That's what I thought you were saying.
They would have various cats in that show, and one of them turned on Roy. But right. When you saw footage of them at their compound, they got a big, luxurious landscaping and pools and falls right. And stuff. They're all together in the water, and they're all playing and stuff. So I don't know.
It's in their nature. It's on the night show.
Yeah, some kind of light maybe caught its eye to flash, or you'll never. I don't really know the story. I never.
Well, it is hard because they're in front of a crowd too. It's kind of a strange environment for them.
I mean, people freak out when they're on crowd, and you get a massive big cat out there. You know what do you expect is going to happen? Sooner or later, one of those cats is going to go batshit crazy.
Could have freaked it out.
Yeah,
and they do it. They do it a lot.
Maybe it smelled menstrual.
All at the same time, huh?
But it could have been possibilities.
Who's a big kitty? Who's a big kitty? Ah!
Kitty, kitty.
It is a cute term. Come here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Pussycat is a cute term. Come on. It's nice. Pussycat. Pussycat.
Oh, it's so cute.
A friend of mine, he's going to be making money. He's going to be making money selling cat's toys. And the website's called pamperyourpussy.com.
Oh, my God. That's a pearl way.
I mean, you know, there's no additives. It's totally purr.
Yeah. That'll work.
We should get in touch with that, Vinny. I got some additional cool stuff.
Oh, my God. Pamper your pussy. It's 100% purr.
And kitty, kitty, please go home. The boys are out tonight.
Hypoallergenic.
But going back to the Wild Wild West, I don't know if you guys remember the show called the Wild Wild West series with Artemis Gordon and James West. They had devices in that train that trip you out. Dr. Lovelace, do you remember him? The midget?
Yeah. That's like the first MacGyver.
He used to scare me. He was one character that could scare me. And going on scare, another one was going to the drive-in with a few fellows, only about 14. One guy had his Lincoln Continental with his, or Pontiac, and we went and watched The Exorcist, and that movie was scary. Over.
Yeah, apparently The Exorcist, on the film set, they actually had somebody that got possessed by a demon, and they had to call a real exorcist to the movie set for one of the crew.
I'll be damned. I never heard about that. I believe it.
Yeah, it's like I think one of the producers said something along the lines of we were messing with things we shouldn't have been messing with. And it's quite interesting because we did a 48-hour film project about a demon-possessed guitar. And as we started the film project, I told the crew, okay, now – just remember, this is 48 hours of intense filmmaking, so you're going to be tired, you're going to be crazy, you might get at each other's throats, and just, you know, shrug it off, and unexpected things are going to happen. And because we're dealing with something in the demon world, you know, even in context, something strange might happen. And you know what happened? After 15 hours of editing the video, I accidentally deleted all of that work.
Oh, man.
I had 2 hours to edit 178 clips into one 7-minute video.
Boy.
And I did, only just, but it was way worse than the original cut that we had. We need to redo the whole thing and, like, get it up. But anyway, it's about how the mystical stuff and what you're talking about and what you're thinking about actually affects stuff in the real world. Now, New Age people misinterpret this, and they think that because they're thinking stuff, it makes stuff happen. No. It doesn't create stuff out of the ether. What it does is it changes very, very slightly, almost imperceivably, stuff around you.
Just around you, but not globally, correct?
Now, do you know why that is? Because when you bump into somebody, something changes in you. You feel something. You have a rush of chemicals or whatever going through your body. And people aren't realizing that matter, atoms, are alive.
Yeah, frequencies around us, visible frequencies. I copy.
Yeah. You're saying there's no spirits? It's just
No. Hell no. How the hell did you pull that one out?
because we're feeling each other instead of
spirits. He said like it's vibes. It's a vibe. If you bump into somebody, man, and your reaction is, and you look at them. And
no, what I'm saying is, when you can feel somebody, like let's say you hug somebody and you actually feel something, right? Something real changes. And just like if you can actually measure the activity and things that you touch, just objects that you touch, you'll also see very small changes in that as well. Not because, you know, you're magic or anything, but because all the stuff that you think is dead is alive too, and it reacts to you just like a cat would when you stroke it.
But if I bumped into you and I looked like a big biker, you'd kind of go, oh, how you doing? Excuse me. Get out the way, you know. Or if you're not paying attention and it's a woman dressed in a red dress, you're going to kind of react differently.
The smell has a lot to do with that first interpretation, a lot.
I'm just talking about bumping into somebody because it happens to me when I'm sitting in my
It happens a lot in supermarkets and
in casinos.
And everybody like says – everybody says automatically on reflex, oh, sorry, you know, it's not their fault or anything
damn,
like that.
Can't you see where you're going? I'm playing this machine, man. There's plenty of hallway. Get out the way. Don't bump me, dude. I'm messing with my television. Some bitchy. That's who messes with me. Man,
personal devices.
China TV.
There's plenty of hallway, man. You don't need to be crowding me, man.
Bump in my chair when I'm trying to gamble, man. Yeah.
Everybody be crowding me when I'm at the blackjack table, man. They want to see me win, and they want to find out what my secret is.
They look at my shoes.
But I'm not going to tell them what it is.
But I only have my sandals on.
Yeah, but I wipe my butt with my cigarette butts. It's the double thing here. I get the butt, and then I smoke it again, and I get smart, and I make more money.
Oh, don't go kind of...
On now.
Yeah, there is a line, and I thought that I was, but apparently not.
Nice! There we go. There's always a new thing, you know?
There's always one.
You gotta be forward, proactive, attractive, you know? Ba-ba-booey!
Ba-ba-booey. I got one from Confucius. Confucius say, you go to bed with itchy boonie, you wake up with smelly finger.
See? We're going round and round.
I had to draw one in there. That's in the late 60s.
No wonder he was so confused.
I swear.
Confusioned.
Confucius say.
I was confused for a second.
I could not put a finger in it or on it.
You know, we're so totally drawing the race card here. We're making fun of Mexicans. We're making fun of Asians, you know. Hey, have you ever noticed how it's funny that you can't be accused of being racist for making fun of another white person who has a funny accent or something?
Well, he might be a redneck.
Yeah. Like for example, if I made fun of a Scotsman, for example, would the Scotsman call me racist?
He'd laugh. Because you tell in reality.
But this is for people.
Is that, that's really funny. You talk really funny on a New Zealander.
Well, what would you do? You know? I know one where I smell a can, man. What do you smell, man? I smell a can. A garbage can? No, a Mexican.
What do you call an ice cube with a mustache?
Oh, bear with me.
You call him an Eskimo.
Ooh. Eski, get over here and help me mine this gold. We're in this stream here together, and goddamn, it's going to get cold for soon.
Come on, Benny, break the veil. Let's do it.
Hey, boy, do you know why squirrels float down rivers on the back? It's so they can keep their nuts dry.
Oh, my. What did the head say floating down the river?
What?
I ain't got nobody.
Hey, do you know how aliens repair their damaged spacecraft?
No.
With a duct tape.
Oh, wow, well. I like that one.
Do you know how to stick two ducks together?
Duck?
With duct tape.
I was going to say duct tape. No more quack, quack, quack.
Duck, duck, goose.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Why are Israelis suspicious of chickpeas?
I have no idea.
Because they could be working for Hamas.
Ooh, that was deep. That was good. That was good.
Chickpeas. You ever heard chickpeas in the morning? She shits what? In the afternoon?
I don't understand that one.
Say it again.
Dark again.
Chickpeas in the morning. She shits in the afternoon. That's food.
Mr.
Heaps. I get it now. I get it now.
Yeah. Keep it. That's circulation, right?
Like
she shits in food. The front. Yeah, just or chickpeas.
Wow. Baby's got to get fed.
Yeah, it's very nice.
We got
it's nice. It's all nice.
After hours with a little dark humor. Rolling. We lost Matthew, huh? So we lost one saint. We got any apostles left?
Saint?
We got any apostles left?
How about a sinner? You need a sinner?
No sinners. We have to teach.
Prophet. What's Vinny? Prophet Vinny then? How does that work? You're prophets and saints?
I don't know. Vinny's not no prophet.
I'm a non-profit organization.
He's a non-profit.
They make more money.
That's perfect.
We're all non-profit.
NFL.
So good, bro.
Who runs the NFL and all of them? That runs all of them? It's a non-profit organization. Look at all the millions they bring in.
Somebody was telling me, like, I should go and ambush the Clintons and ask them some tough questions. And I was like, well, no, it's kind of a little bit dangerous to, like, go to their thing. And not to mention, I probably wouldn't get to them. They're like, why not? Well, because one of the aides would come up to the Clintons, you know, when they're at one of their big presidential dudes with all the other old presidents and all that kind of stuff. And they'll say, hey, Mr. Clinton, Vinny Eastwood's coming over here with the microphone. He's going to try and ask you a few questions. They go, quick, hide behind the bushes.
And a Nixon stands up and says, my fellow Americans.
Nixon's dead, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, thank God for that. Oh, my God.
I think
that actually just relieved a great weight off my shoulder. Because I didn't know if he was actually dead. It's like one of those things with Elvis or whoever they are. It's like, are they really dead? Are they just faking it? They'll like come back and mess with me with like a comeback tour or something someday, you know? Ha ha! Drug war too.
They say something like that, like John Kennedy Jr., maybe Princess Diane, are shown that those were staged and they were somewhere where they can't play no more.
You just never know. Here, I got a good one. You just never know what happens when you insert a Bush into the White House.
Yeah. Hey, no. There's a good anti-Hillary slogan. Don't vote Hillary. We all know what happened the last time there was a Bush in the White House.
I like that one. What was the ones coming out about her? Everyone was capping on it, and I can't remember. It was like about a month ago. Everyone said, yeah, Hillary, I'm bringing something to this.
Have a cigar, dear.
Yeah, that one. Thank you. Yeah. She got drove on that one.
And the Yoko thing, right?
Jeb Bush has been in town lately, and Hillary, and they've been doing certain raising events or dinner charity events to raise money for their campaigns. And boy, I wish I was gone, but I know some people that have gone to Old Man Bill's lectures and stuff, and he mentioned something. Somebody mentioned something smart. He looks at that person and says, listen, the CIA's here. You want to talk to them? As crooked and stuff he is, when the truth comes out, his nose starts glowing, and then he gets alert, and he told that person, you better shut down or get out because his boys are there. So he won't tolerate that, the truth. That sucks. Shows you he got
people
some.
Who-
Go ahead.
Have you noticed how truthers are still surprised that people won't acknowledge the truth? You know, it's like, I've got facts, I've got evidence, and it's like, bro, that's not enough.
You know you're telling the truth when the broadcast starts getting broken up.
Yeah, you know, I know it's good. I learned it on Google.
There you go. Good for you. But anyway,
my woodshop teacher taught it to me, man.
Let's get grounded a little bit better now. We kind of floating out here. Come on.
Oh, yeah. It's the YouTube.
Ground us a little bit. We're off.
It's now midnight for me. What time is it for you?
Hey, 5 o'clock. Flavor Krill. I have one more hour if we go, if we continue. I have another, we have about 55 minutes if we continue, or we can shut it down now. It doesn't matter to me. I'm from Wilkeshire.
Okay.
Onward.
Well, then I'd like to say ground it a little bit and let's get back to the basics of knowledge. Who sang that song? Willie Nelson. Let's get back to the basics of love. Let's go to Luke and Mark, Texas.
This has been the first time when I've ever heard somebody referencing like movies and like songs all night where I don't recognize one of them.
That's Willie Nelson, Luckenbach, Texas.
You got to be as old as us.
Yeah, those old. You know when I had a mentor back in my career of chefing and stuff, and we'd always go to the bar afterwards and have the machines that are built right in the bar. A lot of places, the little places aren't doing that no more. But that was kind of that style, and we worked all night and we'd just have a few beers and. And there were slots on the side, too, and pool tables at this little place called Paris Place. And he goes, man, he taught me about country western because my dad always called it Okey music when I was little. But when he started playing, he goes, I just got to hear those sad songs when I gamble. And he'd put on all them sad country songs, and I got to know him and Take Back the Weed, Take Back the Willie, and all them guys. But it was a good time. I wouldn't change it for the world. But learning about those sad songs and Luckenbach, Texas, it'll probably come around to you now, Vinny. You'll hear about Luckenbach, Texas.
Yeah, probably not. I was just thinking about this, the Clinton comment that I just made before. did you know that during the George W. Bush presidency, there was both a Bush and a Dick in the White House, and as a result, the entirety of America got screwed.
Yeah, by Cheney and Laney. Here comes Herbal Fuzzy. Let's see what she has to say. Welcome, Herbal.
By a two-faced Bush.
Welcome, Herbal. What do you have to say to the
Who got assaulted by a two-faced Bush?
Oh, I thought my girl was on. I heard my girl was on.
Who?
Helena.
She was earlier.
Oh, well, hi, guys and gals and whoever. Why not, oh, right?
Yes.
You found me finally.
We're just pooping the shoot. I mean, shooting the poop.
No, we're scoping the Pope.
Yeah, that's a great one.
On the rabbit black hole.
But
I've got more good lines than a Coke dealer.
Ooh, we used to call them blasters.
Or George H.W. Bush, as is known in Panama.
And vice versa. I sure hope you accept me, sir.
It's all a straight line, right? God.
Well, going back to Luckenbach, Texas.
Oh, so what really is happening around the world, y'all, since you're up so early explaining it? Give me a clue.
Well, that wasn't our topic. I'll give you a clue. Our topic was trying to come up with concepts and of ideas to get more younger people into alternative radio, where they can see see the real side of what's going on.
And the two main conclusions that we came up with to solve this problem and reinvigorate youth interest is to tell more penis jokes and make the end of the world more attractive.
That's all, yeah.
Okay, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll, so where do you go to stand in line for it?
You know, somebody came up with a winning formula. It wasn't me. You know, I'm just copying it and using it.
Yeah. And more games.
There's no line to stand in. You create your own stage,
which you can fill with penis jokes.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Which came before the chicken or the egg? It was the rooster, you know.
That's a good one. Kitty, kitty.
I think a lot of people are, especially the kids, are seeing what their parents have trained them, and they knew from the beginning it wasn't probably right. So they have to go somewhere where it would be correct. And as long as you're wearing a condom, at least you'll be safe in one form or another. But so much of it is lies. They got to figure it out on their own. So how do you do it? You know, offer them ice cream or Slurpees or, you know, comic books, you know, with chewing gum.
Slumber parties, baby. Slumber parties.
Co-ed slumber parties. That'll do it. Yeah.
But so that's when you're in high school. When you get to college, it's toga.
Well, here's another angle as well that we haven't really explored yet is celebrity culture. You know when Charlie Sheen kind of like started coming out for 9/11 Truth and Tila Tequila started coming out and exposing secret societies? Well, those people coming out, you know, isolatedly by themselves, they just wound up getting shut down. You know, Charlie Sheen got his cars stolen and then deliberately drove off cliffs and all this other weird stuff started happening. And when I interviewed Tila Tequila, they were like, there's like eight different things that have to go kind of right in order for a radio show to go kind of swimmingly. And there was mm-hmm. something like five or six of those normal things happening that went haywire during that interview. So there's like interference. But I think there's a reason for that interference is because people follow celebrities, particularly young people. I think it's just this pop culture, mass media kind of machine that the truth movement needs to learn how to play and manipulate so that they can actually divert innocent people from being brainwashed into waking up.
I think what she was just saying is there's no real intelligence out there for them to use. And what we really need is something interesting for them because everything's so dull and you're not getting anywhere with it. You know?
Well, it's kind of like cracking open the door. You put your foot in the door, and suddenly you've got their attention, and then you start to pump information through that mail slot. Okay, so the main objective is to get people watching the content. The second objective is to get them thinking. It's no good to just go out to get them thinking if they're not going to watch it.
Mona, well, the whole thing when we were kids, hold on a second.
Yeah, I want you to say that. I want you to talk.
Okay, well, just for the idea, remember when we were kids, what did we go for? We went for Mad Magazine. We wanted to make fun of all the battles because there's white versus dark. And I mean, today, they're going to get it through the internet. But yeah, how do we get their attention? Because parents are not the same as they were. No, they're in fear. They're running for their lives. They're trying to keep their children safe and give them what we didn't have when they don't know how dangerous this crap is.
Kids raising kids.
It's all a mind, you know, and we need to figure out how to do it what was that singer who did that thing about the tinfoil hat?
I don't know. But
he did a great song about it, and he was telling all about the Illuminati. That is how we got to get it. Just like Vinny said, you got to make a comic out of it. You got to tell them no, because then they're going to want it. You know, that kind of thing. You got to look at that age.
Hold on a second.
One way I was suggesting is to come up with some software technology that people play like these war games all over. They join up. But have it reflected to what being open up the conspiracy things, and instead of them when they want to buy weapons for their gun or their tanks or any of that, that they have to answer questions related to maybe Illuminati or things that would open up the door, like Alex Jones opened up doors to a lot of people but don't believe in him. But it's kind of like that concept would work.
Well, let's think about this. It's the different styles of, let's say, comedy. Now, I saw a comedian called Stephen Hughes, and people had compared him to Bill Hicks and George Carlin and Lenny Bruce. And Stephen said, no, I really don't want to be like Lenny Bruce, and I really don't want to be like Bill Hicks, and I really don't want to be like George Carlin either, ideally, because they're all dead.
Right.
The reason why, Bill Hicks died real young, like 32 or something, and Lenny Bruce killed himself. And what happened to those two comics, Lenny Bruce and Bill Hicks, is one of them killed himself because he got no work in the comedy scene because he was telling the truth.
Right.
And Bill Hicks ran out of work in the comedy and died.
What happened to Freddie? What happened to Freddie Prinze?
I don't know. I didn't mention him. But can I finish? Carlin, on the other hand, he didn't go hardcore at the truth and just anger, you know, telling those jokes and things like that. Carlin understood that you needed to have a few really just lewd, crude, and just funny and witty jokes in amidst all the truth to stop you going insane from it.
Well, it's assumptions that they're putting out there to make people think to have choice. And the whole thing is, look what happened to Robin Williams. I actually see that there is some kind of implementation. I know that I said that wrong, but anyway. It's Mona here talking. Anyway, that when I was a kid, I was told no, and I went and did it. And when I was raising children, if I wanted them to do something, I would tell them no. So you have to kind of mind meld them. I mean, I have a 16-year-old, and they're all gifted kids these days, and their brains are so on, but they're being trained in the wrong way. She's being trained nanotechnology and stuff that's going to be used against us. How do we help them to choose what's right in their heart and not in their groin and their brain?
I think you have to give them an opportunity where there's money at it, and they're going to make a substantial living.
That's what rules the world, and what has screwed us all up is the idea that money is what supports our life.
Yes,
but you've got to do something to.
Yeah, but you have to do the exact opposite of everything that's been done before, because everything that's happening right now is virtually the opposite of progress.
Yeah. She gave a good clue there. You just have to ask the kids, because the kids know what they want to learn, and we never ask them. You know, like, if you tell them what you want them to learn, then they're only going to learn what we've been learning. You know, but if you ask them what they want and you give them all the opportunity, they'll change the world. You know,
I remember asking my mom, young mom, what do you think I am going to be when I grow up? She goes, whatever you think you're going to be. I don't have no answer for that. It pondered me. And so I just let it go. You know, I didn't sweat it. I said, you'll be all right, whatever. You know, I just sweat. I don't know what
kids are inspired already. You're just supposed to help them with their inspirations. You know?
Are you really seeing that?
Well, here's something here. Here's
yeah,
something.
Right. I know what you mean.
Well, what happens when you tell?
That's what we're taught.
What happens when you tell a child or a kid to not touch the stove? What ends up happening?
They touch it.
Well, it depends on if it's on or not. Now, you have to expound on that, because some are gas, some are electric, some have burners, some don't. I mean, there's too many variables. But the whole idea is people are looking for goals. They're looking for an outcome. But what is the subject? I never went when I did all the tripping and everything I did on acid or smoking pot or whatever. I never went to look for an idea that I'm going to accomplish something, even though I did. But, you know, it's really difficult these days.
You learn from experience.
Oh, boy, did I.
I think that's what you meant, right? Yes.
And the strap.
Well, that I don't like.
I'm going to say I was one of the lucky few that my parents were not around all the way from the time I was 11 to 14. And I'm talking they weren't in the house. They were out doing what they thought they had to do to support two families. I could tell you stories that your children would be put away if they did what I did. But I'm happy to be who I am now, because I learned my lesson then that it's only going to be me who's going to make my life. Nothing outside of me. And they're all born with treasures. And until the parents and society can nurture those treasures, we're going to keep having these MK Ultra shootings and these false flags of children fighting against authority. And it's like, no, like, who brought up the game thing? you know, technology is so advanced now that if I click something, it gets taken somewhere and registered. Now, how do we know that these games that these kids aren't playing aren't actually doing, okay, we have 7,000 hits. Let's go ahead and kill those people on this game. Do you see what I'm saying? Illusion is not as separate from reality anymore.
It's probably a test to see who to hire for the military.
Yeah, well, it's programming, and I had a look at some game theory the other day, and what it stipulated is that games can teach people anything, right? It can teach you how to learn Japanese. It can teach you how to build a house. It can teach you general knowledge. But what are games teaching people? To kill things.
And kill
them efficiently without thinking about it, if you're thinking about first-person shooters. Reaction time. Now, reaction time and the amount of people who would actually try and kill another soldier in World War II was like 10%. 90% of people would like purposely misfire or aim differently because they didn't want to kill another person. Mm-hmm. That was what Americans were raised like. It was about respecting each other's, life, human life. Sure. And now we have the opposite. American soldiers, 90%.
Yeah, can I say something about that? I just saw an article that said that the average American fighting in World War II out of doing a tour of a year, only a very small percentage of each month did they actually fight in combat. Maybe it ended up like a 2-day per month average, stretched out whatever how they did it. In Vietnam, when if you took a year and a man did a tour in the actual combat, it rose to almost 95%. They were more in combat than they were in relaxed time or. Because they do 28 days in Vietnam, all of them in live combat, and they have 2 days off to drink and go to a safe area and go back into that, where it was totally different compared to World War One and the way that is. Over.
It's so written wrong because it's made by people who want to grand dose an illusion of these hierarchies that have the power and the knowing of what's going on. You're right, Gert. Not everybody wants to go killing anybody, but we're in a different state of mind. There's no jobs. Where do you have a career that would be a goal? They're not teaching art, music, anything to put in as a let's do farming. You know, they're literally trying to wipe us all out for that reason.
It's a setup.
Right.
To take you away from love.
It's a family affair.
Because I have done a lot of veteran counseling way back when. I was married 17 years to a Vietnam veteran that taught me a lot about, I'm going etheric, screw this material crap. Because if we don't have the knowledge that every action has an equal and opposite reaction, plus a cause and effect, but a lot of those soldiers have been damaged. They came back damaged, and there was nothing they could do but try to exist. And a lot of them had society to deal with who said, you're murderers, you're wrong, you shouldn't have done this. Well, they thought they were doing their duty to protect the lives of this country. The lies, not the lies.
Right, that's right.
The lies.
Even their families rejected some of them. I know a guy that lost his legs, he came back. And his wife was not, you know.
So how do you teach children
there you go.
That, you know, death is a final thing in this dimension? And how are the energies going to go into the other dimensions? Nobody even looks at that part that, okay, we just think we're live here. But we're not. We're in many other realms that correlate
when
to
others. When your child asks you that question, you wouldn't just throw that at him, would you?
I've had a lot of good young children around me, and they would ask me questions, and I'd tell them straight, and they had to take it from there, because I'm not going to try to story anything. I can only tell them from where I'm at, and that's,
The other thing is that kids are very flexible. You can teach them languages really early on, and the only reason why learning the truth is really traumatic is because the truth is the opposite of what we've learned our entire lives, and we have to let go of the lies that we've built our life upon. That's what's painful. It's not the truth.
Well, wants the program. You're supposed to be a star and make all this money, and you're supposed to work so hard in slavery for somebody else's benefit. It's a crock of crap.
Exactly. And that's the fact that realizing that it's a crock of crap, as you so eloquently put it, is inherently the problem, isn't it? Because people don't want to realize that they've been living a lie their entire life, and that they're basically in the result of a zero-sum game where the bankers get everything out of your existence and you are quite likely to get very little out of it.
I just want to hug all the babies and let them run free and teach them that life is a beauty. You just have to coexist with it, not try to control it, because we can't control any of this stuff. We are all coexisting, and until people can get that out of their mindset of the power plays, it's all going to be damned just like it is now. And I don't want to feel that way at all.
It's all about a big stick right now. And the thing is that it is what we teach our kids, because if you give them opportunity, they'll use it, you know. And right now we don't have any opportunity because the whole thing is a war machine. And yeah, all they want to do is train us to kill ourselves.
Most parents have put their kids in front of the TV. At one time, Disney was a little bit sensitive and good to share for groups. Now it's like, oh, yeah, sex. Oh, yeah, let's do that. You know, it's all wrong.
Jer was saying how, you know, the first wars, nobody wanted to shoot each other. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped the war for a second, and then they trained everybody how to shoot each other. And then they trained everybody a little better. And now we're at the point where all we are is killing machines.
But
you know,
and
that's why we're crazy.
Is that there's supposedly somebody else has more and we want it.
Not we the people. We the corporation of the United States.
There you go.
I want to. Hey, everybody, chill for a minute. I'm going to play just a little bit of some soul. Hang on, everybody, just chill. I'm going to put something on here now. Mute out, please.
Sounds like someone borrowed Carlos Santana's guitar, you know?
that's how we saddle the calm of the nerves. Let's all have some block parties and make sure the cops aren't allowed in because they screw everything up, because somebody isn't allowed to have fun on one block because the other block... I mean, everybody feels victimized and that there's so much less and that we have to get it all now. That isn't the truth of the planet. And so until we recognize back to who really supports us, hey.
Lenny, there's cops coming into the block party. Who left the 50 caliber unattended?
If you're any police coming to the cul-de-sac, wear your tops but leave on your... boxer, so we know who you are.
What?
I always used to think a cul-de-sac was something you got when you sat on a very, very freezing rock.
No, the coals will sack you.
I call the cul-de-sac. I call shrinkage.
No, it's like an Italian guy. I got the cul-de-sac.
It's the big pool blues.
Most block parties I went, it seemed like they were always in a cul-de-sac.
Set up the lines. Let's get flowing.
Otherwise known as the pepperoni penis.
Pepperoni rigatoni.
Done with a bit of garlic and cracked pepper.
Please bring the butter sauce. I want a little herb in it.
And a bit of truffle butter too.
Oh, now that sounds good, truffle butter.
Do you know what truffle butter is?
No, but go ahead.
No. It's after you're making love to an anus, and then you start making love to the vagina, and the little, and the kind of brownie sort of gooey stuff that builds up on the sides of the vagina, that's truffle butter.
Never mind. Oh, my flipping gosh.
Once you know.
You did it. You pushed it, Vinny. You pushed it. You made it, bro.
But truffles are real. They're a vegetable. So how dare you assume that I know your Aussie language there? That's gross.
Yeah, and that's essentially, not
American. And it's actually New Zealand language. And indeed, I made a comment today about how 1 in 7 Americans can't locate America on a world map that's unmarked. And that why are New Zealanders are surprised when they think New Zealand's part of Australia.
I'm telling you.
We're educated.
I'm just trying to pass on information that you wouldn't, that you probably wouldn't know. But once you know it, you can't unknow it.
I know, right? I'll never look at it the same again. Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. See, now you know what to call it when it happens to you.
Let me take
Time to scrub the truffles, man.
I would just like to take a moment and
I liked it when I first mentioned the truffle butter. She goes, that sounds yum.
I do like truffles. I mean, the real ones, not your illusionary ones.
They come from France.
Yeah. Condiments and condoms, Vinny. Condiments and condoms.
There you go.
Well, mine is gluten-free.
Are you sure?
Non-GMO.
It's organic sort of certified.
Yeah, it definitely isn't time to eat out, right?
Slick Willie approved.
Yeah. And with extra focus.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my gosh.
It was like everybody laugh, and I guess it's because I'm a fun guy.
Oh, that's the down under kind of thing, uh-huh. Oh, gosh.
Get people's mind off the real world.
Oh, how do you do that? I was there, and it got altered. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and also, another technicality, Australia is down under. New Zealand is just New Zealand.
Oh, South really?
South Pacific, you know. I don't know where people get this this kind of down under as everything. Like, if somebody comes up to you from South America, you go, oh, you came from down under. No, it doesn't mean Southern Hemisphere. It means Australia. It's the Great Southland, the biggest continent in the Southern Hemisphere. Oh, I love that place. It's really great. It's got a lot of poisonous spiders, poisonous snakes, dangerous reptiles, and it also has wildlife as well.
Sounds like Florida.
It's unique.
Yeah. I was referring specifically to the current political cabinet that they have ruling the country, of course. Hence why I added on, and they have wildlife as well.
Well, we'll just get our herbs out and take care of all that.
Yeah. Come on, isn't there someone else you can annoy? Friends, relatives, poisonous reptiles.
Aliens. Boy, guys, you shot up real fast there. Come on. Join in.
We're here. We've been chuckling all night.
Yeah,
happy solstice to everybody, okay?
Thank you very much, yes. Happy solstice Father's Day-ish.
Well, wasn't the new moon like a couple days ago or something?
Oh, do you really
Even though our calendar says it's the solstice.
Bark at the moon.
All right, let's see. It was the 16th, Sugar.
Yeah.
For the new moon.
Solstice, right?
So that's 5 days ago. Does it really count?
No, I'm just saying if you go by the moon, that's the real solstice. We go by the calendar we made up.
Yeah, I know, right?
I just thought of the count.
Like we're a week off.
Count. Count Cranula?
Yeah, I just thought of the count. I love the count. He's so cool. He's himself. He's real. He's Count Cranula.
He's a puppet, bro, just like the president.
Who, Barry?
Hey, Mr. Sotoro.
You got any change?
And we really need to do like some kind of parodies or something like that with just some, you know, mafioso accents and just everybody like play presidents or like some kind of dude from the White House or something. That'd be great. They're all sitting around talking like Italian mobsters, talking about their derivatives and their investments in Halliburton.
I'll be the cleaning lady.
Right, the school for Chase Bank and things, exactly.
Get your nail bus today. Buy one, get one free. And we will even include this whole year's supply, even though you won't need them after the first attempt at suicide.
Mm. Hey, I found out some interesting statistics the other day about food in the United States. Apparently, half of all the food that's grown in the United States is thrown out. Half.
By law.
Yes.
If it was up to society, we would share and we would incorporate. But they actually put locks on dumpsters. And they set a time date that it's supposedly out of code, but it seriously doesn't go out of code. So, yeah, our whole commercialized system of feeding people is for null. It's all crap.
Yeah, good point. That has to change. Yeah, that has to change. What Vinny just said, yeah, it has to change.
If you throw out half the food, you can charge twice as much for everyone. And nobody can get
too,
it for free.
Right.
That's a variable for the artificial scarcity, yeah, like the water.
Right, and think about what they're
like
doing
the
to the environment.
And
what
you know what's worse than that? Is the average American eats 7 times the amount of food than the next country on the line, which is England.
I can vow for that.
Is that counting what we throw out?
No, that's just what you eat. You eat on average 7 times more than any other country on the planet.
Are we all just U.E.s? Aren't we U.E.s?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? They're closing 700 or 1,000, however many. They're closing McDonald's. That's a step in the right direction.
No, that's because Carl's Jr. is blitzing them because their burgers are bigger.
That's you know? Because you have to
eat 10,
you have to eat 10 times.
See, what's happening now is the franchise wars that was prophesized in the movie Demolition Man. And what's going to happen is those with the biggest and beefiest burgers for the lowest price are going to wind up winning out. And at the moment, McDonald's is really starting to struggle there because their designs have remained the same. They haven't changed with the times. They haven't made all of their stuff way, way bigger.
No, they're just finding out they're made of yoga mats and sawdust and chemical leftovers.
It kills people.
Everything at 9.8.
The reason we eat 7 times as much is because we don't get nothing out of it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're still hungry because there's no nutritional requirements being filled by it.
And they saved a lot of money in their advertising, actually, that they've gone down to AI. It's all commercials. There's no more people involved in their commercials. It's funny how that all switches.
It's about squeezing until you can't be squeezed anymore.
Well, they're starting to introduce digital checkouts so that you can go to McDonald's, not talk to a person, do a little thing on, and just select from the screen what you want, and it'll be brought to you.
Is that the 3D printers now really in effect? Here we go. You know,
I'm not sure if it's 3D printers. It's not like, you know, they're going to like just build your Big Mac layer by layer in a 3D printer, you know, just
why not?
Like a couple of little tubes, one with like uncooked meat in it, one with like a tube of lettuce.
I bet it is. How much do you want to
Big Mac sauce that just spurts
anyway.
Like an orgasm?
It's,
fake food and now fake robots, AI,
oh,
Phoenix,
think about
Arizona.
It. Star Trek did it. Come on.
That's what how they it? Make their money in
the
medical
the
system, by poisoning us.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just say replicators? Replicators? Yeah.
That's what I said. Replicators.
Hey guys, we've been talking about movies and music the whole time, right? And the other night I saw this movie called Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows, and you'll love the plot point on this. Spoiler alert: it's about a dude who bought up all these different industries, from bullets to bandages and everything that you could do to supply a war, and then tries to blow up something in order to get a war kicked off so he can supply all the arms, munitions, and supplies to both sides.
Was named Janie and Rumsfeld?
I know.
No, his name
American.
Was Dr. James Moriarty.
It reminded me of the Monty Dean 3D printer, analyst, how he thinks of 3D printers, you know.
Is that where we got the idea? From Sherlock Holmes?
Sherlock Holmes. Watson. Jerbear.
Yeah. I always thought it'd be great to have a Mexican detective that's just called Sherlock.
He's called Sherlock Holmes. You mean like Cheech Marin?
That's right, Holmes. Gonzalez. Fastest DI in all of Mexico.
or if Watson was Mexican, Watson, please go over there and fetch me that knife.
You got it, Holmes.
We had the Long Ranger and Tonto. Treating that Indian like a savage that he wasn't. Okay, anyway, masked man.
Kimosabi.
Zorro, there's your Mexican hero right there. Zorro, wasn't he? Or is he Spanish?
No. Cheech Marin will always be my Mexican hero.
Oh, okay.
I think he was Spanish, but he fought in Mexico, right?
Save the seeds! Save the seeds! Pardon me.
Isn't that Pancho Villa?
Pancho Gonzalez.
Hey, I just live here. I have no clue.
Speedy Gonzalez!
Hey, interesting fact about Pancho Villa, a whole bunch of his troops used to smoke cannabis, right? And they reclaimed a whole lot of land in Mexico. And a lot of that was owned by a man named William Randolph Hearst, forestry and stuff, so that he could print his newspapers because he owned this huge media empire. It was like a Rupert Murdoch of his day. So he really started to hate Mexicans, and he really started to hate weed. And so he started pulling out all this propaganda for a man named Henry J. Anslinger that was anti-cannabis, and then got a drug war. And then a whole bunch of Mexicans got racial profiled and arrested.
Randolph Hearst was one that caused. Randolph Hearst was one that caused it to make marijuana illegal.
Yep.
Pushing the oil combustion engine.
He wanted to use the trees instead of the cannabis and the hemp.
That's right. Take our oxygen away. The culling started.
This goes back to alcohol prohibition, because interestingly enough, Henry Ford's cars that were being built almost entirely out of hemp that were 8 times stronger than steel and 1/3 the weight were being filled up on biohemp ethanol, which also, interestingly enough, got made illegal during alcohol prohibition because it was distilled.
And you know who monopolized from that? The Seagram's Corporation.
Yeah, actually, technically it was the Rockefeller Foundation as well.
It's all taken out the female. We have denounced that nature has its rule and that man and its penis power play has taken over. And this is where we are today. Women, stand up and take our world back. Mother needs it. These men don't know their A from a hole in the ground, okay? Yes. It's like ridiculous. And I don't mean it because I like men. I like men a lot.
What men are you talking about?
Enough
Hearst and Cheney and Hillary Clinton.
But may I make a point? They weren't bad because they were men. They were bad because they were criminal sociopaths.
There you go. I agree with that.
Because they could get away with it, and they can't get away with it anymore.
They're still getting away with it, but it's
it's pretty obvious now.
Yeah, and they lie to themselves.
They're not getting away with it.
They lie to themselves. Even. They lie to themselves by pretending they had a vagina. You know, that's
And they go to Japan now and get a blow up doll that feels real and even coos when you play with her.
Well, when you don't have feelings, you know, what's the difference?
All right, no more talk That's, about sexual priorities now, please.
I can't fight this feeling.
We'll be here next week if we keep continuing. So
Come on. We are trialing a new system of how to get the youth involved here. More penis jokes. Did I stutter?
Everything is ACDC. If we don't account for that, we're lost. Okay.
All right. Well, we've got about 16 minutes here or less to summarize our conclusions of trying to get the younger set of people, listeners, into alternative radio. So, Mona, I'd like to hear your summary, and then I'm going to go down the line. Mona, would you start it off? And this is Revolution Radio, Freedom Slips. You've been listening to. I've been meant to start this. We're at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. We have a good show coming up next hour, and we're getting out of here. A Touch of Country with that hillbilly terror, lady horse, vicious, my mom. anyway, up next with a few guests, so stay tuned for that. I want to say thank you. This is Jared Bear that went on a topic tonight that we skipped around with. And damn if I can't remember my vagina. But this is Radio FreedomSlips.com, and please come and donate if you liked what you hear. We are listener supported. Back to you, Mona.
Well, being a mother and seeing 57 years of how life has accumulated, all I can say is love the babies and everybody. We're male, female, equal. We need to work together to change this world and not worry about the crap that's been in the past, even though give me back my hemp and cannabis. We've got to make the change. We can't just keep talking about it. We got to show by example. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Herbal Essence. I like that. Eagle Eye, would you like to sum up, well, your ideas and thoughts of this little battle of conversation, please?
Yeah, well, one thing that should be taken into note is that children are a lot smarter than we think they are.
Talk a little softer. You're just back off your mic.
The children are a lot smarter than we think they are, and they have a lot to offer. And how about this? Let's ask them what they think is good. You know, let's kind of divert it and go around the other way. Who's to say that we know what's right for them? Let's listen to them and see what they have to offer, and let's get together and share and get up, you know, getting something with a mutual understanding. I mean, to me that makes sense to include the parties that you're working with if you want to move forward, rather right. than just look down on the people you're trying to help. You know,
their voice everyone's does involved. Count. Right.
Yes. Yeah, so we should all be, you know, one. You know, like Mona said. You know, so happy Father's Day.
Totally.
I do think if you ask the children what they think of all of this, they would end all of this problems that we have. It would be easy to them to just stop the war.
Is that children before or after puberty?
I mean, if they're thinking about their future, why would you want war, you know?
Well, they've been taught that it's money and that kind of thing that supports them when it's not. But go ahead. I'm going to mute you because we have other people who need to talk.
Well, I got to just say, I don't know. I was a child. I'm still one. I didn't raise any children at my age of 59 next Friday. Cancer head here. But anyway, I just wanted to say that children are important, and when you have questions that you want to ask your parents, you should answer them in a way where they understand. But it may not. But if it's sexual things that they see, because young kids see that, keep it clean to the fact. But and hope that they learn from it, and not in a, you know, where it can create a problem later. If they come to you with questions, answer them the best you can for that child being at that age and you imagining that age, I think helps. Over.
So should I be the one? Oh, that was just in the middle of a yawn.
That's contagious, you know. Yeah, sum it up, Vince.
Okay. Well, the topic was how to get the youth involved in the and the consensus is, or at least the evidence shows, that they're really not. And ultimately, they need to suffer really badly, have stuff go awry, and be abused by people in authority before they will start to question the validity of any authority. And I was starting to believe that it might have been possible to, you know, wake up without trauma, but I think that that's only really something that happens to people who've been raised in an environment that's awakened, you know, really, really clued on. So if you're unfortunately not one of those people who was raised in a really accepting environment and allowed you to question and talk about conspiracy and understand the way the world really works and not be ignorant and brainwashed and mind controlled by a high school and a university, and then you be ordered around by your boss and make widgets for absolutely no reason, for any purpose other than to make money simply to exist and never evolve and make yourself any better than the person you were yesterday, simply getting older and dumber and worse and more cantankerous as time goes on, because you've been raised to believe a lie that you're not good enough, that you can't achieve your dreams. Well, actually, you can. And it's the people who benefit from you working for them, not achieving your dreams, who tell you those kind of lies, not for your benefit, but for theirs. If you want to lie to somebody, lie to yourself. Say, I'm brilliant. I'm freaking awesome. I can do this. It's going to be no problem. It doesn't matter what opposes me. It doesn't matter what strength that I think that I don't have. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do whatever I want, regardless. Okay? Even if you don't believe it, just say it to yourself. Tell yourself these sweet dreams and these sweet lies, and that will actually make you feel better about yourself to actually become a sweeter and better person. But you have to actually live the lie in order to make it real. This is the problem that people have with politicians. They say everything you want to hear, but you know in your heart they don't mean it. Mm-hmm. Imagine for a moment that everything that those politicians, those lying scumbags said, was actually true for once.
That's a good way to wake up, listeners. If you don't believe that, when you vote and stuff, Vinny's absolutely right. 180 degrees is what they create, what they say.
It's my two general assumptions of life is that assumption number one, if it comes from a government or official source, whatever the stated intention or claim, it is most likely 100% the opposite. If you wouldn't look at assumption number two, if you can eat something and it's really tasty, but you can't make it in your own kitchen with ingredients you can find, then it's a soft kill bioweapon.
Whoa, that's about right. So it seems.
And other than that, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry. It's just the end of the world.
Keep your poppy happy. Be a happy pappy. Try a vegetable sauce from herbal.
Happy feet. I've got those happy feet because my shoes refuse to ever grow weary. I get cheerful on an earful of music sweet, 'cause I've got happy feet.
Ding, 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 ding. Nice job, guys. I want to thank you all for coming around my hood and talking good food and good body movements and
boo-boo. The energy.
The preface of a flick of a 18 years and older.
to use the sexual reference, just at the flick of a knob.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you. But I want to thank you guys all, and I want to especially thank Nighthawk, the owner that gives me this platform to come on and do this without anything that broke it up except a little advertising for the station. So I hope you enjoyed it, and we're about to shut off.
Well, like a transsexual drop-off.
There you
go. Well, we miss you, Vinny.
I mentioned that. So anyway, thanks again, y'all. And go ahead and continue on. I just want to make sure I got my those thank yous in there to the listeners. Go ahead.
Nice. Can I just say something? Thank you, Mona, for joining us this morning. That's really great that you're here. You're a lot of fun and a lot of wisdom.
Sunday's my day to play all day.
So thumbs up to the Feral Hippie, everybody.
That's right. Adventures, Monday through Friday, noon to 2, Studio B Eastern Standard Time. Come play with us. Mm. And donate. We really need this. I don't want to lose my show, people. Whoever's listening, please keep donating to keep us helping the unprogramming. Sing a song.
And Mona has some guests that come on her show that would really turn your knob and make you focus. That's what's good about Mona, because the smoke brings you in, and then you just pay attention.
And then from the friction.
At that, dude.
Was the smoke from the friction of the very furious twisting of the
knob? No, it's Mona Essence of Urban Lessons.
I surfy dance in very gentleness, and if you can come along for the ride, Sugar, you just might want to have a good time.
You should have an AM show. You could call it Mona in the Morning. It would remind me of my wife.
Mona in the Morning. Ow! Ow!
It's Feral Hippie in the Afternoon. I do a lot of extra things in the morning.
She keeps
Is that the name of your radio show, Feral Hippie in the Afternoon?
Adventures of the Feral Hippie, uh-huh.
She's
adventure.
Feral Herbal.
Oh, Peter Moon's Friday show is great because we were talking cone telomeres of how we see in time travel. I mean, that was one show I didn't interrupt my guest.
My mate was telling me today about how when Jesse Ventura goes on the Alex Jones show, Jesse Ventura is the only person that Alex Jones doesn't interrupt. And I said, bro, if you had a Navy SEAL in front of you, he was a former professional wrestler and a governor, would you interrupt him?
I could get away with it, sweetie. I can show a little thigh and a little humor. Yeah, I can do it.
That's a joke.
Everybody be cool. It's smoke break. Time to give up. And the Monster Rooster is supposed to play. Love y'all.
All right. Get ready for
it. Have fun, all.
A touch of cup.
You got,
go ahead.
You guys ever lose your bong?
I told you that. No bong commentary. It's 86 on my show.
No, that's a recreation center. It's a recreation center where people go. It's called a bong rec center. Honest to God, check it out. Check it out. Check it out on Google.
And it went missing?
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to the rec center? I don't know. Somebody misplaced it, man.
The senator had it, man.
But I was going to use that bong today, man.
Oh, man. I wish Dave was on here. Oh, man.
All right. Smoke break. Later, guys.
Peace. Shutting it down. And Vincent, from all the way down under, you're on the well.
Again, New Zealand is not down under. It's called New Zealand. And it's New Zealand. It's not down under.
Not underwear?
No. Americans aren't Canadians. Canadians aren't Americans. Mexicans aren't Nicaraguans, and the British aren't French. All right, there's cultural barriers. There's slight differences and things of this nature. And there's a study, and there's this thing called a globe. Look at it, right? It's got countries on it, and you'll see that in between New Zealand and Australia, Australia is one huge island, and New Zealand's a couple of little islands that are freaking miles away from it. That are not the same country. Except under the Constitution of Australia, admittedly.
Hey, can you see the Arctic? Well, that's it, folks.
All right. Good night, everybody.